Our scripture reading is taken from the book of Zechariah. Zechariah's prophecy, chapter 4, and I'll be reading the first 7 verses. Zechariah chapter 4, the first 7 verses. Hear the words of the Lord. Now the angel who talked with me came back and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" So I said, "I am looking, and there is a lampstand of solid gold with a bowl on top of it. And on the stand, 7 lamps with 7 pipes to the 7 lamps. 2 olive trees are by it, one at the right of the bowl and the other at its left." So I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered and said, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." So he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring forth the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it." And may our good God bless his words to our hearts today. There's a message for the leader, and that message is, be encouraged. Oh, beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God gave the Jews a great task after captivity, the Babylonian captivity, which was around 538 BC. And he said, "I want you to return to Jerusalem. I want you to rebuild the temple. I want you to restore worship. And I want you to get yourself ready for the spread of the kingdom around the world." After their return, there was that initial excitement. They laid the foundation for the temple beautifully. But then they started getting some opposition. The Samaritans nearby, their half-breed brothers, started harassing them. The Arabians came, and a few other nations harassed them. And they continued that, like you see in the book of Nehemiah, you will see more of that harassing. So they stopped. And after 20 years, not much was being done. The foundation was empty. And Zerubbabel, the governor, was becoming discouraged. And Joshua, the priest, was struggling. And more than that, Zechariah, the prophet, he came and gave all this hopeful message, and he spoke at the same time with Haggai, so you will see the similarity between the two prophecies. With Zerubbabel, the governor, not making progress, he needed encouragement. So God sent Zechariah with this encouraging word for Zerubbabel, and that's what you will hear about today. Our headings are 3. The 3 encouragements are, I'll show you a picture from the past, I'll show you power for the present work, and I'll show you the progress that will happen in the future. And our goals are that you will see that God always gives encouragements for your kingdom task, and that you will then receive that encouragement and use it, whatever your kingdom task is. First, a picture from the past. Zechariah was sleeping and an angel woke him in a calm way and showed him a vision. This angel, no doubt, was the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the angel of the Lord, and it's a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus. Now, the fact that Zechariah was awoken in a normal way by the Lord Jesus showed Jesus was not in a state of panic. That's important to begin with. You know, if there's fire in the house, you don't go and pat someone and say, "Are you awake?" You yell, you panic and say, "Wake up, fire!" But here, the Lord wasn't in a panic. Yeah, the people were struggling, Zerubbabel was struggling, and the Lord said, Zechariah, wake up. I got a message I want you to deliver. There was no panic. And you know, calmness begets calmness. Panic begets panic. The Lord was saying, I'm in control. Don't worry about it. Then the Lord said to him, Zechariah, what do you see? And Zechariah's response, I see a golden lampstand. Now the fact that the lampstand was golden, first of all, says this is something of great value. It wasn't a cheap knockoff. This was the genuine thing. And this lampstand brought his mind back to the temple in Jerusalem and the tabernacle before. In the tabernacle, there is what was called a menorah. It looked like a tree, and there are three arms on either side and one main stem in the middle. That's seven candlestick or seven lights that picture the work of God the Father. Now, if you went into a tabernacle or the temple, you would have seen three things in the holy place. Right in front of the holiest place was the altar of incense. On the left side would have been the menorah, the table where the this tree-like candlestick was. And on the right side was the picture of, or the table of showbread, where there will be 12 loaves of bread representing 12 tribes of Israel, representing the Lord Jesus Christ. So Zechariah sees the lampstand, the seven lamps that were fed by seven pipes. And you can read about this in Exodus chapter 25. And there was one bowl on top of the seven candlesticks, the menorah. And then on the left side and right side, there were two olive trees. And that's the first thing he sees. Now, why was God giving Zechariah a vision of the past? Well, this was an encouragement without words. You know, if you hear someone has passed away and you meet your friend, you don't have to say anything. You just hug them. And right away, they know you care. They know you're sad for them. Or if someone's gone to war, so a soldier goes to war, often he has a chain and a locket, and in that might be a picture of his wife and his children. And he will open that if he's in a dark time, and he will look at that and he will see his wife and his children, and he will say, I got to keep going. I have to keep fighting. I have to protect them. So it's a way of being, of getting that message across with just a symbol. We have that too, right? We have baptism. It's a reminder every time you see a baptism that your sins were washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. Every time we take of the Lord's Supper and we break the bread and we drink the wine, we remember that the Lord Jesus, his body was broken and his blood was shed. You don't have to say anything just by seeing that. It's what we call a visible sermon. And what God was saying to Zechariah, I want you to tell Zerubbabel, the governor, worship will be restored. Don't panic. That candlestick, that menorah will continue. The light of the Father will continue to shine upon the people of God. Now that's what they learned. How do we get that message of that first point to us? First of all, a general lesson, which is keep seeing and using the symbols that God's given to us so that you will be encouraged and that you will keep working for his kingdom. Don't miss a baptism. Don't miss a Lord's Supper. When you participate, when you see the Lord's Supper, your mind goes back and you're being reassured of God's love. He doesn't have to say it, but when you think about it, you take that bread and you drink of that wine, you're reflecting on Jesus Christ. And that gives you, that makes you strong. But specifically, the symbolism here was that beautiful light that shows God's presence that gives you hope. There is danger in darkness. I mean, which child likes darkness? You start imagining snakes and spiders, and if you're from the tropics, scorpions and other creepy, crawly things. But God gives light to expose dangers and to keep his people safe. Light removes fears. Not surprisingly, what did Jesus say? I am the light of the world. Isaiah spoke of Jesus as that light as well. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 1, he says, arise, shine, for the light has come, the prophecy of Jesus, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Consider what David wrote when God protected him from Saul and when God prepared to establish him as king over Israel. He said, for you are my lamp, O Lord. The Lord shall enlighten my darkness. 2 Samuel 22 verse 29. You are my lamp. And after showing you your sins, after you come to know the Lord Jesus, you have that light as well. God says in Psalm 119, his word is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. The lamp is right where you are, close to where you are. You see immediately around you. Where's the light is that bigger picture. It's a little bit farther away. You see the whole scope of the world. And both are important, the lamp and the light. So we have that blessing of having God's light to guide us, to see his presence. I mean, you look into the world, you see, when you see the beautiful sunshine, you're reminded of God's blessing. You look at the beauty of the world, we're reminded of God's blessing. God gives us these symbols to encourage us and say, I'm still in control. You don't need to panic with the troubles that are going wrong. So what is your response then to this? Having been reminded of the light, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So your response is to shine for Jesus. Your response is to encourage Christians to continue in this fight. Because you are nourished, you will encourage others, as Zechariah was encouraged. Daniel chapter 12 verse 3 says, those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who may turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. You know what's the natural tendency when things are difficult? We pull ourselves in our shells. We're like the turtle. But the reality is, especially now, if you talk to people, maybe not around you so much, but all around this country and around the world, there are people who are frustrated, fearful, struggling, uncertain. There's a lot of abuse. There are a lot of men who feel absolutely helpless because they can't provide for their families. Well, as God blesses you, you use that light to encourage them, remind them this is something that the Lord is sovereign, that he's in control of these things, that he will take care of us. His light continues to shine, and we must not become introvert and hide away trying to protect ourselves, but that we open ourselves to be a blessing to others as well. But then we come to the second part, beginning at verse 4 now. We see that light from the past, and he's saying, learn from it. I'm here. I'm going nowhere. I'm 7. I'm perfect. But then Zechariah says, so I answered and asked, spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? And the angel said, do you not know what these are? And he said, no. And he answered and said, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Well, Zechariah then questioned the Son of God what he saw. His questions were not really what is the function of the menorah, for surely he knew that. He was a prophet of God. He knew the light gave hope, but the light was also to give help, to work for the kingdom. And he asked about something that was kind of strange. He knew about the menorah, but he didn't know about this bowl on top. What is this bowl for? That wasn't in the original. Neither were the two olive trees. What are those for? Well, the olive trees produced a fragrant, continuous supply of oil. And this symbolized God giving the Jews continuous confidence and courage to continue to live for him. And he does that through his Holy Spirit. And isn't he the one the Lord prayed would come to help you in your work after he went into heaven so you can continue to work for the kingdom? John 14 verse 16 and 17 and 18. He says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. You see, that olive tree was going to, the picture now is expanded with the olive oil just pouring into the bowl, and that bowl would feed the seven lamps. And there's a continuous supply of oil. And it's kind of interesting because olive trees, those things live forever. And that's the picture the Lord used to say, you know, now you don't have to worry. I will continue to supply all your needs. When the Lord was going back up into heaven, he said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's what God wanted Zechariah to go and tell Zerubbabel. I will give you the strength. I'll give you the courage. I'll give you what you need. Yes, we're talking about expanding this kingdom, and it doesn't look very good right now, Zerubbabel. But look, I will give you the courage so you can stand up and fight. You will be bold to confront people. And we live at a time where people don't even want to hear the gospel. And yet we're called to proclaim that gospel. But what about the bowl? We know the olive tree is producing all this olive oil, and that will nourish the lamps forever. But the bowl, that's a representation of people. We are the vessels of God. Romans 9:23. He might make known the riches of his glory in the vessels of mercy, you, which he prepared beforehand for glory. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have his treasures in earthen vessels. We are the vessels that are receiving the oil. The oil that comes from the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit would enter into God's people and bring light to the world and build the church so that worship will be restored. You know, there weren't many people who came back from Babylonian captivity. You would follow the story of Esther and so on. Many just settled in Medo-Persia who had captured the Babylonians. And the Lord was saying to him, look, we'll take care of that. More will be the children, Isaiah 54, of the barren woman than children of the married woman. And you are all testimony of that work of the Lord saving you and bringing you from different backgrounds into his kingdom. And what do we know about this Holy Spirit? It was not the might of the people. They were just receivers of the strength. It was not the power of the people. Strength. It's not by might, it's not by power. Might symbolized the large number, power symbolized the physical strength, and it wasn't that. It was by my spirit. So Zerubbabel was to press on with the work that was before him. He was not to fear the Medo-Persian king who might change his mind, because he was serving the great and powerful God who strengthened him for that work. He was not to be discouraged that there were only a few people who returned to Jerusalem. He was not to fear the Samaritans. He was not to fear the Arabs. He had to remember that God's people is never held prisoner by a lack of servants. God's kingdom is not at the mercy of people. He can save by many or by few. You know, when Muhammad and his forces went into Africa to conquer it, they went with force. When the Spanish went into the colonies in the West Indies and Florida and other places, their goal was what? To spread Christianity, what they call Christianity, but Roman Catholicism. And they used force. They were savage to the native Indians. But God, when he fights, is different. We go with the power of the sword of the Spirit. Psalm 45, verse 5, that psalm that addresses the conquering bridegroom. He says, your arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies. The people fall under you. Not a physical sword, but the word of God that pierces. God's word is sharper than any two-edged sword. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. So, there's that picture of the oil flowing, the Spirit of God equipping Zerubbabel and the others at that time to fight, to continue, to pursue, to build a temple, to preach the gospel, to expand the kingdom. And we can learn some lessons from that as well. First of all, there are too many people who rely on articulate speech to build the kingdom of God, so they keep making jokes. It's almost like you can't have a few minutes without something funny, and it's all about the audience. Or they use flowery illustrations. Their goal is to make people come back. When these things go, when you don't have a comedian in the pulpit anymore, then the people go because they're not getting what they wanted. Others use resources, and this has been a problem that I observe in the mission field, where missionaries try to bribe their way into the hearts of the people, so they have to keep giving the people stuff. Of course, when the missionary is gone and the local people have no more stuff to give out, then the people go as well. Others use organizational skills. They all have all kinds of activities in their churches, with activities almost every single day. And they have to keep a steady supply of all kinds of interesting activities to keep the people interested. And as soon as that wanes, the people disappear. Well, that's not how the church is going to be built. The church is going to be built with the preaching of the word that is accompanied, and faithful proclamation of the word accompanied by the Holy Spirit. There's another lesson that we must remember as well. If you want to have that power to do the work the Lord has called you to do and to build the kingdom, you need to be more and more filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit comes in us and he saves us. But the Bible talks about being filled with the Spirit of God. Not in the crazy Pentecostal way. They have a corrupted sense of what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. But this is biblical language, that the Holy Spirit will continue. I think the charismatics really confuse baptism with the Holy Spirit and being filled with the Holy Spirit. But we are called to be filled with the Spirit of God. Ask him to fill you so that you will be bold. What does the world like to do? If a man wants to pick a fight with someone, he gets liquid courage, those other kinds of spirits. But what are we called to do? Ephesians chapter 5, be filled with the Spirit of God. You want to fight for his kingdom. You want to walk with God. You need his Spirit. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 9 and 10 say, also he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath came upon them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. What was this breath? That word is Spirit. It was the Holy Spirit who moved and gave life to the dead. If the Holy Spirit will give life to the dead, would he give you strength and help for the challenges you have? He will give you the grace to raise godly seed, to discipline your children consistently, to love them when they're not very lovely. You might say, well, maybe you don't know my husband. I don't, but God does. And he says, I will give you strength to be able to live with that man. Maybe it's an in-law. Maybe it's someone else. Maybe it's the difficulty of a medical condition that has gotten worse and worse and you struggle with it. Well, the Lord is saying, I will give you my Spirit. My Spirit will keep you will sustain you through the trials you have. So whether it's the big picture of expanding the kingdom, whether it's building this congregation, whether it's strengthening your family, or as an individual, you need the Spirit of God working in you. Because He gives you courage, He gives you strength, He even teaches you. You know, the Spirit of God purifies your prayers. He cleans out your prayers. What a blessing that is, that God will hear only good things from you. That's why you want Him in you. And for Him to be in you, you have to empty yourselves of you, that there is room for Him. And finally, just the last verse, 7. Who are you, O great mountain? God would remove the great obstacles to bring glory to Himself and good to His people. No mountain is too high for Him to overcome. In fact, God described making the mountain into a plain. And great nations in the Bible were called mountains. In fact, a nation like Edom that God says, I will flatten you and destroy you forever, was on one mountain, Mount Edom. And God's saying, no mountain will stand before you, Zerubbabel. You look like you have trouble right now. You think you have trouble, but I am with you. Look, my light is here. My presence is here. That's the work of the Father. My Holy Spirit is in you. He will strengthen you. And then you will have the one who will go out and conquer. Isaiah 40 verse 4 says, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight and the rough places smooth. This was speaking of the conquering of the nations. When you hear that again at Christmas time and you're listening to every mountain will be brought low and every valley exalted, it's speaking of the people, the nations that the Lord will conquer. And that message should be with you all year long. And what an encouragement this must have been to Zerubbabel as he was overwhelmed with the great task that was in front of him. He need not fear the enemies around the Medo-Persians or the indifference of the Jews or the Samaritans or the Arabians. All obstacles God would overcome for them. The temple would be rebuilt, worship would be restored, and they would be ready for the expansion of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. When Jesus came, he said in Matthew 21, verse 21, Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, it will be done. And what about that capstone that we read of there? The capstone, which is the finishing stone, meant the second temple would be rebuilt. He was panicking. Are we going to get to this? And it was from that temple when it was rebuilt that grace was proclaimed. And the Bible says from Mount Zion, the nations will find their way to Jerusalem. And they will say, show us the way to Jerusalem. We want to meet that God. All the obstacles will be brought. All the mountains will be brought low by a conquering king, the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, Jesus was going up into heaven. He didn't say, you're on your own now. He said, I am with you always. Go and make disciples of all the nations. There are just two quick lessons I want you to reflect on now. First of all, surely you too will have troubles in working to expand the kingdom. Yeah, it might seem that it's quite a hurdle. Nations will join and persecute you. We read about some of that. There's so many stories that are absolutely amazing, sad, of what people are doing to the Church of Jesus Christ. Philosophies will work against you. Right now we're being bombarded with students coming out from universities with socialism and Marxism. Quite antagonistic to the Church's Black Lives Movement. They're gathering and burning Bibles as one of their things because they want to get rid of anything Christian. False religions will attack us. Sometimes it might be sickness. Sometimes it might be depression. That might become that obstacle. Maybe it will be the concerns you have will be some of the wicked leaders we have in Ontario and in the federal government. But God will help you. When He is with you, you can't lose. The future is bright. as dreary as it may be now or seem. And when you consider, secondly, God's power, let it spur you to action. One man says God is TNT. Didn't mean the thing that blows things up. He meant tried and true. Corny? Yeah. True? Yeah. God is tried and true. He showed you the picture from the past. He showed you what you will do now with his Holy Spirit. And then he shows you a bright future. Let's conclude. Zechariah saw the menorah. And what a beautiful message of the encouragement he could take to Zerubbabel. The Lord God still reigns. His light will shine. Worship will continue. And then God would guide his people. It's a lamp to their feet and light to their path. The temple would be rebuilt, worship restored, and the people indeed would be ready for the spread of the kingdom. God would remove their enemies, and the Holy Spirit would supply everything they needed. In fact, Jerusalem would become that beautiful city on the hill to which all the world will stream. And you are the new Jerusalem today, a city of lights to all the nations around. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, are you overwhelmed or disappointed or fearful about the future with your lives, in your children's lives, about the church, about the kingdom? Do you feel like you're fighting alone and that you can't win? When you see all the wickedness that is around, when you see Christians being silenced on social media while they protect the rights of people who speak filth and ungodliness, oh, it's easy to feel that way. But see what the Lord promised. He will be that light for you. He will equip you with strength to do all that he calls for you to do. He never gives you the task without giving you the means to accomplish those tasks. He will help you with that child to raise godly seed. He will help you with your struggles with your husband or with your wife. You will be that godly husband, that godly wife, that faithful husband, that shepherd to the flock, that caring brother or sister, that persistent evangelist. Don't say, I can't be a great wife. I don't know how to be a persistent evangelist. I don't know how to raise proper children. I can't serve as an elder or deacon. That's what the devil would like you to think. But the Lord is waking you up and giving you this message today. He saved you through Jesus Christ, and he wants you to live for him. He wants you to capture the world for him, starting in your own heart, in your family, in the church, in Bowmanville, and as far as the Lord will use you. And finally, without God being your God, you will remain in thick darkness until you see the fires of hell. May God move you today to ask him to shine the light upon you, the truth of the gospel, which is that beautiful light that shows you the holiness of God, the sinfulness of man, and the work of Jesus Christ. And that you will then believe and receive him and live forever. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your words. There's much to digest here, but we thank you that you have given us your light. You've given us your spirit. You've given us your promise. May we be encouraged, regardless of how dark things may seem in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.